Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In the church today, there are a wide variety of methods that are employed to try and make the time that we are together relevant for today's worshiper. Emphasizing things like music, times of sharing. There are seminars, things that certainly are helpful to us as we live in this world. There are activities that are designed to strengthen our relationships, activities that are designed to reach out to the community. And as good and as important as these things are, many times it seems that with the emphasis on these things, what has been abbreviated or even eliminated is the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And perhaps this is a sign of the times in which we live. But as we have seen, as we have been looking at the opening chapters of the book of Acts, and as we will see as we continue to progress through this epistle, the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ was an essential part of the early church. And in Acts chapter 2, the first time that Peter preached a sermon, the one he preached on the day of Pentecost, on the day that the church was born, 3,000 men from the nation of Israel came to Christ for salvation. That should tell us something, shouldn't it? Should speak to us of the importance of preaching the Word of God, the proclamation of the gospel, the word of the cross. God-ordained, Spirit-led, biblical preaching has always been at the core of the life of the true church of Jesus Christ. And so, it continues in Acts chapter 3. As two disciples of Jesus, Peter and John, were about to enter into the temple in Jerusalem, they saw a man sitting there on the steps, a man who was lame, a man who was crippled in his feet and in his ankles from his birth. And since he was unable to work for a living, he spent his life begging. His life was consumed with begging for financial help from those who were entering the temple. And seeing Peter, seeing John, he began to cry out to them that they might have compassion on him. And they might give him something, even a few coins. But Peter informed this man that he didn't have the financial resources to give him anything. But what he could offer to him was something even greater. He offered him salvation through Christ. He offered him spiritual healing. And he offered him physical healing in the name of Jesus. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so God would choose to raise this crippled man onto his feet. And firmly grasping that man's hand, Peter commanded him to walk. And immediately, miraculously, this man leaped to his feet. And his feet, his ankle bones were strong. They were whole. And this man began to walk into the temple with Peter and with John walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people in the temple, in the courtyard of the temple, recognized this man as the one who, for years, had been sitting at the gate of the temple, begging in that place each day. And so they knew that an incredible miracle had just taken place among them. And what was their first reaction? We're told they were frozen with fear. They were stunned. They were terrified. And suddenly, like a tidal wave, they all began to rush forward to where Peter and John and this man were standing, which was on the portico, on the porch of Solomon, an area inside the temple, along the eastern wall of the temple. And as this crowd of people stood before Peter, they stood in amazement there on that porch. Peter preached his second sermon concerning Jesus Christ. So it says in verse 12 of Acts chapter 3, when Peter saw and he was aware of their confusion, when he saw their need of an explanation for what had just happened, he replied to the people, apokrinomai, he addressed them. And he said to them, men of Israel, first let me ask you a few questions. Why do you marvel? Why are you so amazed at this miracle? Why do you wonder that this man has been healed? You know, in the history of the nation of Israel, the Lord God has performed many miraculous things among the people. And you further know that while Jesus, the Nazarene, was here on this earth, he also performed miracles among you, and many of you were witnesses to those things. And why? Why do you gaze at us? Atenizo in Greek. Why do you stare and focus your attention on us in our direction? We're just fishermen. Fishermen from Galilee. Do you think that by our own power? Dunamis. By some miraculous power and ability that is within us, or even by our piety? Yulsevea. By our godliness? That we have done these things? That we have made this man walk? No. Don't look at us. Look at Jesus, the Nazarene, the Messiah. For God, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, the God of our ancestors, he is the one who has glorified doxazo. He is the one who has magnified and lifted up his servant, Jesus, as the Messiah. Something the prophet Isaiah spoke about, didn't he? In Isaiah chapter 42 and Isaiah chapter 52, where he called the Messiah his servant. The servant of God? But that word for servant that's used here in verse 13, kais in Greek, that word not only means servant, that word also means son. Jesus is not only the servant of God, he is the son of God. He is the Messiah. But Peter says in verse 13, he is also the one whom you delivered up, paradidomi in Greek. You handed him over to the executioners. so that he was nailed to a cross. You killed the Son of God, and you disowned him. Arneomai. You rejected him. You refused to acknowledge him as your Savior. You didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Even in the presence of a man like Pilate, the magistrate, the Roman governor in Judea and in Jerusalem, when Peter says in verse 13, he had already decided to release him. At least 6 times he tried to sway the crowd, and many of you were in that crowd. Because he knew. He knew what you knew. That by executing Jesus, he would be executing an innocent man. Even the wife of Pilate tried to get Jesus released. But you stand guilty before God. Why? Because you disowned him. You rejected the Holy One, Hagios, the one without sin, the Sacred One, the Righteous One, the Kairos, the Innocent One. And instead, you asked for a dangerous murderer to be granted to you, Harisomai, to be freely pardoned, to be released, and to be let loose in society once again. What were you thinking? You chose an unrighteous man instead of the Righteous One. And you put to death, Peter says in verse 14, the very Prince of Life, Arhegos in Greek, the author of life, the originator of life, the source of life. But he is also the one, Peter says, whom God has raised from the dead. A fact which we all are eyewitnesses. You betrayed him. You disowned him. You murdered him. Can you think of a crime more horrible than that? Can you think of a crime more deserving of eternal punishment? You delivered him up to die, but God delivered him from death. They rejected Jesus, didn't they? But they are like us, aren't they? We all rejected him at one time. And so we all stand guilty before God. But God has exalted Jesus. He has given him a name that is above every name. He is Lord. And on the basis of faith in his name, Peter says, faith in his ability, faith in his power, it is the name of Jesus. And in his power alone, which has strengthened stereo, which has allowed this man to be made strong, this is what has healed him. This man whom you see standing before you, and whom you know he was crippled from birth. And it is faith, not his faith. It is faith in Jesus. Faith that has given this man his perfect health. Holokaleria, this soundness, this wellness. This is a miracle. A miracle which has taken place in the presence of you all. So now, what will you do? What will you do now that you know these things? Brethren, Peter says, verse 17, I know that you acted in ignorance. Agnoia in Greek. You had no spiritual discernment. You had no understanding of spiritual things. You were blind to the truth. Blind in your rebellion against God. So you acted wickedly, just as your rulers in the nation of Israel did also. Quite an indictment. But, Peter adds, but these things have occurred, well, that is the suffering of Christ, even your rejection of him, his death, his resurrection, all of these things have been part of the plan of God. Just look at the scriptures. God announced these things beforehand, pro katangelo in Greek. This information has been readily available to you in the Old Testament scriptures. It was proclaimed, Peter says, by the mouth, through divinely inspired words of all the prophets. By Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, by David, in Psalm 22, by Zechariah, in Zechariah 12, all of this has been written. It is written that his Christ, the Christ of God, should suffer for us. And he has fulfilled his word. But with our God, where there is guilt, there is also grace. There is forgiveness that he offers to you today. So now, there is no excuse, is there? So Peter says in verse 19, repent, therefore, metanoeo. In Greek. Don't continue down the same road that you are traveling. Turn from your sin. Turn from your unbelief. Let go of it all and return. Epistrepho in Greek. Turn around. Turn around and go in the opposite direction. Run to Christ for forgiveness. That your sins, hamartia, your offenses, your failures, all of your sin, which is all against God, might be wiped away. Exhalethro in Greek. Erased. Blotted out. Forever. This is the promise of God. For only he can wipe away our sins. As it says in Romans 8:1, now there is no condemnation. Katakrina in Greek. It's a legal term. We have been acquitted of all charges. Now there is no punishment. There is no sentence of separation from God for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is good news. Our sin has been nailed to the cross. So now we are free of the condemnation that we deserved. The burden of our sin has been lifted, and that burden was placed on our Savior, never to be placed on us again. In order that times of refreshing may come, Peter says. Refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Anapsuxis in Greek. Recovery. Recovery of breath. Recovery of life. A season of blessing. A season of peace. A time of harmony. Time that we have not seen on this earth. Since when? Since the Garden of Eden. But that is the time that we who know Christ will see in his kingdom on this earth, where there will be showers of eternal blessings. And at the right time, verse 20 says, the Lord will bring this to pass, and the King of kings and Lord of lords will rule in his kingdom forever, and God the Father will send his Son, Jesus the Christ, who has been appointed for you, paraheritzo. It has been determined by God that those who repent, those who turn to Jesus for salvation as their Messiah, as their Savior, will see him face to face. But for now, heaven must receive him, Peter says, dekomai. Heaven has welcomed him home until the time, the period, chronos in Greek, the exact time of restoration, apokatistesis, a perfection. The time of restoration is the time of perfection. It will be a time of holiness in the kingdom of God, in the holy presence of Jesus Christ. And Peter reminds those to whom he was speaking that everything that he has been saying to them are not new things. These are things, he says, which God spoke through divine revelation by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times, from long ago, where in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he spoke through Moses and he said this, the Lord God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren, a redeemer, a deliverer from the nation of Israel. And that redeemer is Christ Jesus. So, Moses continues, to him, to Christ, you shall give heed, akuo, give ear, give obedience to him in everything. And Moses warns everyone of the consequences of rejecting the Christ, of rejecting the Messiah. And he says this, to you, to us, it shall be that every soul, everyone who does not heed that prophet, who does not listen to the Messiah, shall be utterly destroyed. Exhale suo in Greek. That person will be ruined. That person will be cut off from the people of God forever. And likewise, it's not just Moses, Peter says in verse 20, for all the prophets who have spoken for God from Samuel and continuing through his successors, one after another, they also announced katagelo. They proclaimed these things. They proclaim these days. So you don't lack the knowledge of these things. You lack the obedience. You lack the repentance. And repentance must precede restoration. But do not despair, Peter tells those who were perhaps despairing at this point. Do not despair. It's not too late. There is still hope for you. It is you who are the sons. You who are the descendants of the prophets. The promises that were made have been made for you. You are heirs of the promises. You're heirs of the covenant. Diatheke, of the agreement which God made, diatithami, which he entered into with your fathers. You are descendants of these men. And God spoke, saying to Abraham, In your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That seed is Jesus. That seed is the Christ. He is the one through whom all blessings flow. God's agreement with Abraham has found its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. And since you are from the nation of Israel, Peter says to this crowd, this is for you first. God raised up his servant. He raised up his son from the nation of Israel. And he has sent him forth from the glory of heaven to this earth to bless you with salvation, to give you deliverance from your sin if you will only believe. By turning, every one of you, turning from your wicked ways and turning to Christ. And on that day, as Peter was preaching on that porch, like their forefathers who died in the wilderness and who died in their sin, many, many hardened their hearts and did not believe. But we are told in Acts chapter 4 that 5,000 did believe on that day, and they came to Christ for salvation. And now, they are in the glory of heaven. And the question, the obvious question is this, will you be among those 5,000? To delay in that decision is to head towards eternal disaster. The answer, come to Christ, and he will save you forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.